All right, hold on, guys. We're getting going here. I want you guys to wait because it's after 6, damn it. What is it, 6:02? Yeah.
I think that still makes us early by activist time.
Okay, go ahead and just get your mic going up. Go.
Hey, the sock just fell off. How about now?
All right, you
got testing. Testing.
Yeah, really right, go
speak
straight
forcefully.
Into it.
All right,
well,
bring
it down so it's like parallel with your...
There you go. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Directional. Like that. Very directional.
Yeah, very. They're drum mics, you know, for the guests. You know, some of these, the other one's a lot better. You know, I got a different mic on that one. All right, go ahead and test it.
That's you, Zach.
A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins. And
no, you got to be right into it. You got Mick Jagger that bad boy.
I got Mick Jagger out. This bad boy. Okay, Roger.
Yeah, what we're going to do is Zach Foster is in with Adam Kokesh. He's there. Tomorrow is the Arizona Libertarian part. Yeah, they're making noise. Arizona Libertarian Party convention, and I don't care. So this is so they're going to do that. We got the yakking about different projects and things to do. Adam just came off of his big, easy book drop freedom thing in New Orleans, which is, you know, just I think is the coolest crap ever. 200,000+ books in the mailboxes of, and that just hasn't had legs, you know what I mean? That is just 200,000. There's one 13-year-old kid that's going to be, they go, damn it, he got that damn book back in the, and I've heard that story many times from when, God, who was it? Fee? I think it was Fee. Or they were passing out books in the 60s during the Czechoslovakian uprising where the Soviets crushed them with their tanks and so on. And there were a bunch of students that went there to, you know, in support of freedom kind of thing. And they got passed out books. And I've heard that, you know, being around an older guy, of how much impact that was at the time. Somebody had the right book. And mm-hmm. I'm going, oh, it's going to be good. So... You know, I'm just sitting back. I'm patient. It'll be 1, 2, 10 years from now, whatever. You know, stuff is going to happen from stuff just like that. Now, Zach Foster, we were sitting here yakking, and he's going on about, yeah, the libertarians in Venezuela. What? There's libertarians in Venezuela? Okay, well, probably. You know, so we're going to go ahead and talk about that. And then there's a Cuba thing, and we've been interviewing people, you know, from Cuba, doing the Cuba deal. And, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about. So I wanted to introduce you to Zach Foster. You know, he speaks Spanish. He's ex-military. Mises Mambi Institute of Cuba, you know, ED, whatever that means. All right. Helping Venezuela, too. And this is, he's a consultant at a bunch of Spanish stuff. So I guess he deals with, he's like a libertarian in Spain and all these places I never heard of. Okay, so this is, but we have a lot of contacts in Mexico, and it's from a different generation, but got up to the point to where our sister state, Sonora, had a liaison to the state of Arizona as their sister state down, he had an office at the state capitol. And he used to, like, babysit the governor of Sonora, you know, when he was younger. And he's kind of, you know, threw him a bone. Yeah, you can be our economic guy. He was a libertarian. And I'd met him, like, a year before. And he wanted me to go meet with him and has an address at the Capitol. I'm like, what the hell is you doing at the Capitol? Get there. And he goes, I hate this place, man. You got to get me out of here, you know. So I go, you want to get out? I'll get you out. He started writing libertarian material in Spanish on Freedom's Phoenix. And that's why we had a translator. I want to translate it not in the Spanish, but in the English. You know, I want to be able to, you know, this guy's putting this stuff on my site. Yeah, I did a really good job. One of our most popular columnists for years. What happened? His family owned the banks. They were like the, you know, the controlling elite, you know, and they, when the revolution kind of started, they just nationalized everything and kicked them out, and peace be upon thee. They moved to Tucson and they became a citizen here. And he was one of the youngest branch managers. You know, he's like in late 20s, early 30s, family business, has a branch, and you don't got a job anymore. There's army guys in there. So, he was trained in the libertarian Austrian economic philosophy. I think it's called, in Mexico, it's called Monterey or something like that. And there's, so it's kind of like our version of, you know, whatever libertarian college we got.
Wait, but, so there's a different school that they identify free market, like, economics with in
yeah,
Mexico?
Yeah.
Called Monterey.
I think it's Monterey. I think it was called Monterey. And it's well known. I mean, anytime I check or you do, like, you know, search on, you know, University Mexican Libertarians, I think it'll pop up, you know. So, and we'll do that here as we get going. I'll try it. Well, what happened was he came in and he wrote, we had these cards, 20, you want to know street activism. This is a good one because he wants to talk about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We did on business cards in red and green, the colors of the Mexican flag, right? So we put on there, and we said, Filosofía de la Libertad, which is the philosophy of liberty, that stick animation, you know, that black stick animation thing. And
great video. There's,
it's a good primer. It's like, you know, 8 minutes if I freaking get it.
If I could take the best of my book and put it into an 8-minute video, it'd be pretty close to that.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do better than that.
I thought it was awesome. And it was done by a guy named Lux Luker that helped convert us all back in 03 to the internet and MP3 files and editing and all. You know, we got every word got to be on, and that was his activist thing. And he lived in Canada, Western Canada, I think. And he put that together from Ken Schulin's Jonathan Goebel series or whatever. He had like 3-minute audios that he did with a radio station owner in Hawaii, because he speaks at a college there in Hawaii. He's a professor. Well, Ken Schulin from ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty, which now they call something else because ISIL, God, really. So anyway, that they, Cal does.
What's the matter with that acronym?
Screw them. Well, I think they did that I was told by Derek Brose that he found that they changed it because the Middle East, they went to ISIL, was like a new thing. It was, the Islamic some crap. I can't remember. They made up new initials for this ISIS group or something. When they did that to make them look bad, because during the Arab Spring and, Tahrir Uprising in Egypt, we sent the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence, and Cato makes these books, I got laying around here somewhere, that's in English and Arabic. And it's page for page, okay? So we put a sticker on the Constitution page that said, we already tried this, maybe you can do better, you know? But I wasn't endorsing that shit. So then, but the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence, it was cool, you get that in Arabic, that could mess you up, you know? It's like, what the hell? So along with that, we did thousands of DVDs. I think it was 3,000-4,000. It cost us hundreds of dollars to ship them to Alexandria. And they go into Egypt with these, and they pass them out in Tahrir Square, and there are DVDs of, we had it made into Arabic, the philosophy of liberty. And it's a Horia Horia. So we have a page called Horia Phoenix, which is, Arabic for Freedom's Phoenix. So we have a Facebook page and Twitter and all that bullshit. Now, of course, Davi, being Muslim, he goes, you spelled it wrong. And I go, I don't give a crap. That was phonetic. My daughter's name is Rhea, so it was Haria. So go.
Technically, I transliterated it wrong, actually, good sir.
So then what happens is you take him down there, and we had that philosophy of liberty translated in Arabic by a libertarian activist in Moscow, okay? That Ken hooked us up, said he would do it, but he couldn't do it for free. So for $1,000, we paid this guy a freaking, I don't know, a year's wages for all I know. They puts this together, did a really good job, had it checked by the Minaret.org. They're freedom-oriented Muslim kind of group I interviewed back in the day. So I asked him to, him and some other people that I knew that spoke Arabic to go through it and did this, match up to this one. They speak English, what's up? So, we had a lot of confirmation that this was a good way to go. So we put it in the PAL format, which is the DVDs that they play. So all of a sudden, Tahrir Square, you're getting thousands of these things on the philosophy of liberty that you have access to use in Spanish that we did. So these kind of street activism things, I am just like, this is what you want to talk about. I want you to know I'm supportive. But it didn't have an immediate impact. Now, ISIL, they come, they go, oh, my God, what'd you do, Ernie? They had right up there with the United States, the second most downloaded and right close with was the Middle East out of Morocco and Saudi Arabia. And he went, what the hell did you do? And I'm going, I told you I was going to what I was going to do. So all of a sudden, boom, I'm in. I can help. Those duplicators over there, they make 500 DVDs an hour. I got 20,000 DVDs sitting out there ready for me to go piss somebody off. which I got to use like here directly. We got, you know, plans for the pirate thing and stuff that we're going to do, because that's going to be antiquated technology. What the hell is this? You know, this is like hangs from my rearview mirror or something. You know? So this is, so I'm in, and we got a lot of resources. You see all the crap we got here. So, and you got, you're trying to pitch me all these ideas. I'm like, I always say, what do I say, Adam?
DVDs are fun substitutes for clay pigeons.
Yeah. I always say yes.
Oh, yes, yes. That's it.
It's always yes. It's just, how motivated am I? How much is, you know, the cost? How much do you, you know, who's going to be in charge of it? Is it going to be another Ernie project? Or, you know, Zach, man, he's all over it. Now, ooh, got it going up. Because I see the passion, man. You're ready to go. So I'm going, you're in the right place. And I wanted to talk about what you're doing and get updated from Adam on this. I just wanted you to understand that we're with you. And when we did the Spanish thing, the representative of Sonora, it was on that card. It said, Filosofía de la Libertad, a message from the representative of the governor of Sonora. And there were hundreds of thousands of people there. We printed up 25,000. They were gone in like 10 minutes. They were passing them in stacks to each other. It was just, it was amazing. They go there and what they learn? They own themselves. They left socialism, you know, to get here to be free. And now they want to make you socialist. You know, what up with that? So it has impacts. Now, of course, you know, the governor of Sonora said, you got to apologize to Janet Napolitano, you know, for being whatever hell, you know, she didn't like it. And for writing that thing. And he goes, nope. He goes, well, you can't work for me. He goes, I know, I'm good. You know, peace. You know, that was kind of the point. He wanted to go out on. So the thing is that this is near and dear. I got a lot of, you know, friends and people, family members are Hispanic, a whole different family, in-laws, kind of, man, I'm in. So the thing is that, wow me, go. And give me an update on Cuba and Venezuela and crap.
Hell of a lot going on down there. For starters, yes, I do confirm there are libertarians in Cuba and Venezuela, people who actually are familiar with the Austrian business cycle theory and could explain to anybody on the street the basic ideas that we believe in. Yes, they exist in these two inarguably communist countries behind the Iron Curtain. Now, I originally got involved with these folks almost 2 years ago. Originally, it was just a small group of people meeting in one house, passing some Mises and Rothbard books back and forth. A couple of guys got arrested by state security, which is the political police, for having the wrong books. They got sent to a labor prison, and then a chain of people started asking for help. And because I speak Spanish, somebody contacted me. So that's how I got involved initially. So we started off in Cuba with just a small group of people meeting in one house. Almost 2 years later, we've got libertarians in six provinces in Cuba. And we've even got our political prisoners evangelizing inside of prison. And that's pretty incredible. We also have libertarians in Venezuela. They are in the middle of a national revolution. It's pretty chaotic down there. The way that I would best describe that situation...
Are there anarchist libertarians in Venezuelan foxholes?
Well...
Yeah, I'm just wondering. It gets so bad. They're like, that libertarian... There are a bunch of libertarians dead over there.
There are definitely anarchist libertarians. believe it or not, there have been several uprisings by people in the army against Maduro. We've only heard about a couple of them on American media, but there have been five or six, so I've been told.
Well, tell me about... I want to hear more about what kind of libertarians these guys are, because... You know, a real libertarian doesn't put himself in a position to be caught off guard by this kind of stuff. That's part of, you know, self-sufficiency and kind of you be responsible for. And if you say it, you live it a little bit. I mean, they outlasted them a year. We made it fine up in the woods of Walton's with chickens or something. I mean, I'm just wondering, or are they, you know, desperate, you know, and trying to keep their principles, asking for donations for them to advocate for, blah, blah, blah. I mean, how are they living? You know, it's. I'm telling you, when things get bad like that, it's. Hey, man, where's the food? You're stealing from the crown or something. You know, how are they surviving?
Well, as far as the whole self-sufficiency argument goes, I think we're kind of looking at it from the wrong angle. We're looking at it from an American angle. How does one become self-sufficient when they are starting off in a communist society where the very notion of private property and self-ownership doesn't exist? Well, these people had to hear about this stuff from the outside, and then they just had to learn it and start integrating libertarian ideas and philosophy into their regular life. But long story short, the primary reason why so many of these people are interested in libertarian ideas, specifically us saying unrestricted free markets, is because they firsthand see the problem that happens in their life when the government doesn't let people work, when the government controls the complete economy. There is an article in the Cuban Constitution, I believe it's Article 53, that says only people who are in keeping with socialist objectives have civil rights, including freedom of speech. So what do you do when you don't even have civil rights? These people have had to learn about that stuff.
You get a Philosophia de la Libertad card with, you know, half a Satoshi and, you know, a link to a video.
Well, some of these folks actually got Spanish language copies of Rothbard's Philosophy of Liberty. The problem is having that book landed those guys in the gulag 2 years ago.
No. I'm not about, you know, it's out of my hand. I'm for QR coding from the skies. You know, Adam knows how we work. We did the QR codes even for you back in the day. You know, we put these on kids' lockers, and, you know, you got the kids going to school or at the bus station, kind of get this QR code and says, silly status, taxes are for slaves, you know, and then it has a QR code to go, what the hell? I'm telling you. I've been doing this street crap for a long time. You get it to the street. As poor as Venezuela is, now I got some, you know, badass stories as it was starting to really crack, and with you know, Luke and Berwick went, and Luke was telling me all about it. He's like, we get there, we walk out of the front door of the airport, and there's a dead body. He goes, they just jacked a tourist. You know, the guy got off the plane, and boom, we're like, okay, there's that. They go to the hotel, and their security was, because they couldn't have any guns, their security was taking those little rack things that you put your bags on, you go, and they put them across the front, kind of chained them together. Oh, you know, it was bad. And then they go, where's my tender? We're going to go on a date. I mean, I'm just like, you know, seriously, you guys are killing me. But they couldn't get out fast enough, but they couldn't get out for like another 3 days, so they had to survive. It was, you know, and this was before it got bad.
Yeah.
You know, so this is what I'm thinking in these kind of circumstances. You know, there's good libertarians, though. You want to help a brother out, but how can we really help them help other people? You know, and why? It's got to be like an evangelist thing. It's got to be, you know, little individually made solar packs of weed, you know, sent it from $40 of crap on Amazon, the video that goes and somebody shipped it and went and we got a guy there and they're using them and selling. Oh, freaking A. I'll show you these little kits and stuff that you can make, and you make power enough to charge your phone kind of thing. What if you're the freedom libertarian guy handing out free energy?
Yeah, type of kit to make free energy to power your mobile phone. That would be dynamite in both countries, because both countries are experiencing electrical shortages.
Oh. We do the pirate Wi-Fi. It's a thing that has, you know, a Wi-Fi router, and it has a solar-powered battery that goes to it, and you put whatever chip on it, and it broadcasts. Mm-hmm. So people can come up, and they can just get whatever, and it's powered. And they get this information. So for Venezuela, do they have smartphones? Is every freaking
tourist they got smartphones in Venezuela. Okay. But in Cuba is where that would be dynamite, because Cuba is where the internet is restricted a lot closer.
Okay,
a lot
you sucked
tighter.
Me in. You help me do this. Yeah, I'll work with you. We'll do something. We'll get the funding of the kind of making. But you see, it has to be something that's self-sustaining. People can make themselves. They ship to something. You got to have an endorsed individual, person. Please. That's why you got to be able to identify these guys, because you got freedom people selling to make. I don't care. You sell it for whatever you can get for it. They can sell it, but it comes preloaded with a bunch of, in Spanish, there's plenty of material, libertarian stuff, because when you go to the Wi-Fi, it says connect, want to connect hero, boom, done, on there, and then they download all the information. You know, it's like you do jury rights, you know what we do here for that and stuff. You know, I'm sorry, it just says free jury info, you know, or whatever. And they're looking for the Wi-Fi to connect to, and boom, there it is. They're down at the jury pool or something. Same thing is going to happen here. They got free Wi-Fi. Now, if it goes out to something, you know, Derek can hook you up with that, but that's a whole other thing. But, I mean, to have this information and accessible to anybody that can do it in Spanish, and it have a power station.
Yeah, that'd be pretty solid.
You know, or it's just a chip, SD chip that they can do. Or it's a, you know, whatever the heck. There's electronics. How are we going to spread freedom with, you know, technology? You do that, and I'm in. I can get people that they'll make it themselves. We'll do a video. They'll make it themselves, kit, slap a label on it, send it to wherever, and somebody can get, and nobody middleman and nothing. But it has to be able to be delivered. So they may have to pay $100 FedEx to whatever the hell. I have no idea.
Well, there are three particular ways that people can make a big difference in the lives of these activists. And when my organization, I'm the executive director of Cuba's Mises Institute. So we've got the Cuba side of things, and then we've got the U.S. side of things. The U.S. side of things, we basically make sure they've got the resources that they need to continue their libertarian activism. So one of the things that we do is sometimes we just send cash payments and give them specific instructions. Get these supplies and these supplies and these supplies, like you said you needed, and deliver them to these people, you know, on this date because they need it for these reasons. Other ways that they can help, like you said, Wi-Fi chips or any type of portable power station, anything that helps them stay connected to the outside world, especially portable power and portable communications, because a lot of it, you would be surprised how many people in Cuba live on charity from Florida. It's a huge part of their economy. I don't have any numbers.
I used to live in Florida. I know how it works.
Yeah, exactly. So just being in contact, I hate to say it, but a lot of the folks down there to survive, they just have to hustle. So, I mean, they do.
They
make friends, and they find people who are willing to send them $10 or $20. And
I was born in Florida there till I was 12, early 70s, when during all this, you know, and then right after that.
It took you that long to get kicked out of Florida?
The expansion. Well, you know, my mother's family is from Arizona. We came to Arizona. But the culture was in Cuba, just even 10 years before, it was so prosperous. I mean, that's why you see all these 57 Chevys or whatever, you know, or 55 Chevys. Because that's when, you know, this all changed. And they had so much wealth, and they were in the continued guy. Boom, the revolution comes and kick out corporate, and then they're boycotted and poor. Well, they're also a totalitarian state. Well, a lot of things they couldn't get to fix anything. So they went to the people and they said, we are going to you for hacks to live in Cuba. So they come back with all kinds of different ways to fix refrigerators. It was like Craigslist and, you know, and the YouTube or something.
Everything's jerry-rigged.
Yeah, everything was jerry-rigged in this book. So and when I talk to people about it, I remember that, and people who talk, you know, have experience in Cuba and been there a long time, older or whatever, they're going, yeah, we remember, you know, they talk about that and the impact of it. The reason what it told me is that they were very industrious. People are, if they got, but they still got. And I remember talking to a Russian immigrant in immigre. I was at a party, a Christmas thing in New York back in the early 80s. And he said, you guys don't know poverty because you still have pigeons.
Pigeons. Pigeon pie.
Don't tell me how poor and bullshit you got and how bad it is. You still got pigeons, so I don't want to hear it.
And rats.
Yeah, whatever. They're king rat. So these things, I'm thinking more down to that level. And Venezuela is that level. Havana, you know, they got the old, and even if you could make it, oh, this would be even better. You supply, because the Cubans probably have a lot more direct and more people to be able to do something and contact and ship stuff to and know who good guys are or family or whatever, and I don't care, in Venezuela from Cuba. So you make Cuba the hub. We help Cubans do it. We send down the raw material for Cubans. Then we want to see, show me the return receipt, and they got it, and pictures, I'm in Venezuela, approved for the newspaper or something. I mean, I'm not just sending my, you know, crypto into a black hole or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So we got to have some kind of way of you're on the ground supervising and making sure it be a happening. But if you got libertarian Cubans helping libertarian Venezuelans with the help of libertarian New Americas, you know, you clicked off a whole lot of boxes.
Yeah. That's part of what's going on today. Not as much with logistical things being passed forth, back and forth. As far as helping those folks really directly buying things for them, as far as internet credit or Amazon gift cards or just sending them Bitcoin or sending them cash, even though the Venezuelan government has blocked off the U.S. dollar and done everything they can to keep people away from that currency, it's now a huge industry in Venezuela because so many of their people have gone into exile into Colombia, Peru, Ecuador, Chile, you name it. Yeah, everybody's got a cousin or a brother or a best friend who's working and living in one of these other countries. that they'll just have these people act as middlemen whenever they can get cash. So some of these folks, whenever they can get on Wi-Fi in Venezuela, they'll work on Upwork.com as an online freelancer for somebody in Hong Kong or in the UK, and then they'll get paid by PayPal, and they'll just use their friend's bank account in Colombia as the middleman, and then the guy in Colombia will send them, you know, bolivars in Venezuela, and then they're able to go and buy food, you know, that day before inflation goes up even more. But as far as sending materials down there, as far as sending materials down there, there's just too big of a chance that it's going to disappear.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, you know, some, I mean, even if it's a small thing, you know, this is where you come in, Adam. You know, you understand where I'm going with this? It's kind of
small thing, Ernie, that's not appropriate.
What?
Giggity.
Thanks.
Giggity, giggity. The, you know, we're just brainstorming here. We're out there recreating, just kind of chilling. And, you know, think, I'm going to do a show. Let's go, you know, convince me, man. Get me where I can, get me excited. Get me to commit to something. You know, I'm trying to, because, you know, I understand the power of this kind of stuff, which is why I want to, we'll talk more. You know, I mean, well, you didn't get to talk, but, you know, the, well, I want you to express yourself.
I'm actually taking notes.
Yeah, whatever, you know.
I'm actually taking notes about plans for the next book bomb.
No, he's on Facebook.
Well, see, this is the one thing that I wanted to get to on, we wanted to talk about his stuff too, but I wanted you to be able, you know,
Hold on. I'm not on Facebook. I'm like not even on, no, like I will not take that, Zach. No, like that's not funny. I'm not on Facebook. If you say I'm
actually,
on Twitter,
I forgot that you left.
Of dignity. I am not on Facebook.
I forgot that you left Facebook in protest, but now it's ten times more hilarious.
I am too cool for Facebook.
I know. It's
Gab.
A bumper sticker.
He's on
too
Gab.
Too cool for Facebook. You just do that, it's over, man. My grandma's on woo-woo. I mean, you know, it's over. I'm too cool for Facebook. They do that once on some sitcom, they're screwed. Oh, they just went down like 30% today or some
stock
crap.
Value for Facebook?
Yeah, something happened. Some big giant, because they found out there's a bunch of fake accounts. They were just pumping numbers. They, possibly. You know, all the surveillance. Yeah, it's just there. You know.
Oh, I've been reading stuff. Facebook is basically the modern coal company.
How's that?
There's all these reports coming out
Zuckerberg
where
has a bunch of kids
in a
big hole under his house.
Actually, that's kind of hilarious. But basically, I keep all these business news reports about how morale is going down at Facebook and all these, you know, hits that their stocks have been taking and all these NDAs that they've been making employees sign. And they've got to have extra psychologists on staff just because their employees are so damn depressed.
But there's talk about
them making that company town, which is going to have its private security force, which on one hand it kind of sounds like ANCAPistan, but with the level of collusion between these big tech companies and the federal government, it's really going to be more like the coal companies in these coal towns where the local government just basically backs up whatever the private dickhead boss wants to do.
Yeah, until they can't. I mean, if they can maintain control, enhance, expand their control over the individual, they do, because they can. And I'm going, you know, it has to be can't. So that's why we got the IPFS servers over there, and we're getting down the road on this, Adam. I mean, it's a going internationally. They can so suck it. All right. Before we get into off-topic stuff, I still want Zach to be able to express himself. Zach Foster, I want you to, you know, give where. Oh, they're all Facebook pages. Are you freaking kidding me?
They are.
So,
for starters, I can give you a URL.
As soon as you get effective, it's gone, man.
We're talking about third world countries, very primitive people. They're still using Facebook.
Yeah, right up until they flip it off. I mean, as soon as it becomes a flash mob, shut it down. I mean,
well, see, that's the big irony. I mean, Adam here obviously has a beef with Facebook, and we know how shady Mark Zuckerberg is. That being said, had it not been for this technology, the libertarian movement probably would not have evolved as fast.
They just wanted to map you.
Now, nowadays, they're using Signal and Telegram and WhatsApp, and if Facebook were to crash tomorrow, then things would still be all right. But if Facebook had, you know, just gone down about 18 months ago, libertarianism in Cuba and Venezuela would have been screwed. Whoa. I shit you not.
No, we just get to the next thing.
But yay
for Signal.
No, see, this is my point. You know, I go like this. I'll tell the story. I have Brian Sovereign.
Oh, hold on. Ernie's going to tell us.
Shut up.
Do you need to go to the bathroom or something?
Shut up. Shut up. Brian, we're doing a podcast. I do whatever I want.
Do you
want
to go get dinner and come back?
I want to do whatever I want. You know, we're
kind of hungry.
It's an hour before Donna is even going to think we're going to be there for dinner. I knew we were going to bullshit forever. Don't let Adam BS you.
I'm just glad he gave us the warning this time that he's going to tell a story.
No, I might not. I want to forget whatever the hell it was.
Yes, you
know? But I know, like my kids. You know, okay, what were we talking about?
I don't know, but I just got this random hilarious idea in my head.
Go.
Okay, so if you would like to find out a lot more information about Cuba's Mises Institute, we do have a big boy website now. We're not just a Facebook page. So the URL for that is www.mises.com. Dash Mambi, so that's MISES-MAMBI.com.
Okay, do that freaking again.
All right, Mises-Mambi.com, MISES-MAMBI, like Bambi, but with an M.com. Mises-Mambi.com.
You say why Mambi, but you spell it M-I?
No, M-A-M-B-I.
Oh, A-M-A.
Correct.
Mom.
Correct. So everybody knows who Mises was.
Bambi.
Yes, he wrote this beautiful 800-page book that if you talk to women about it, you're never going to get laid again. That's Mises. And then the Mambis were the independence guerrillas who fought against Spain and Cuba's multiple wars of independence, and that's one of those
thank
countries
God
where
you had a reason. Okay, so I just
they had to try multiple times.
We just liked it. Sounded like Bambi, but we wanted.
Well, it sounded a lot
original.
Less douchey than the Fidel Castro libertarian tribute society.
Appropriate to their culture, you know, they remember. They
yeah,
know.
I mean, we talk about George Washington and Ben Franklin, blah blah blah. You know, that's one of their founding fathers.
Okay, so. That is the big boy webpage.
That's the big boy webpage. We've got original articles, content, videos. But we also have multiple Facebook pages, so...
All right, get ready. Here it comes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the easiest way to find the Facebook page is to just go to Mises-Mambi.com, and you'll see the Facebook and Twitter links there. But you can also search Cuban Libertarian Party on Facebook, and it won't be very difficult to find... the logo for the Cuban Libertarian Party. It looks
Partido
like
Partido Libertario Cubano.
Yeah, Partido Libertario Cubano. So if you can make out in your brain and type out Partido Libertario Cubano, then you'll find it pretty easily. But otherwise, just search Cuban Libertarian Party. You'll find it. We say our own name in English.
I want to do something. Give me something to do that's, you know, like, you know what, doesn't cost me like hardly any money.
Okay.
You know, give me something to do. You know, give me some activist thing. You know, it's like Adam shows up and he makes hundreds of freaking freedom banners. And I go, I can do that. I can watch. You know, that's good.
All right. Here's something that you can do. You can go to the Cuban Libertarian Party's Facebook page, or you can go to the Venezuelan LP's Facebook page, and their URL
Libertarian
is,
Party LP?
Well, excuse me, the Libertarian Movement of Venezuela. They're
are they a party, though?
Not officially.
God, thank God, man.
Yeah, so officially they're a civil organization, and there's another political party that they've kind of infiltrated. The way we kind of do RLC in this country, if the RLC was its own political party, they have that going on in Venezuela. So the Venezuelan libertarians kind of help them stay less douchey and less right-wingy.
All right. I turned on the video, you know, that you can see the video. And you can look at some of the graphics. We're going to start letting those scroll up there. I wasn't going to do video, but we're doing video. So go ahead and you'll see some of the names up there. That, you know, how they're portrayed in these Latin countries. And we'll have some more contact information to be in the archive. But I want to, you know, just spark it, have some fun. What can we do and think about what had a big impact on you? Where what was it? Was it, you know, a sign? Was it a book? You know, was it a logo? Was it a meme? You know, what got you going? And you know, where did you go? And I'm telling you, there's so many of these things that we've done in the past in different ways that because... we have somebody here that speaks Spanish and got contacts in Cuba and Venezuela. I'm like, you know, one less thing I got to do. You know, what can I do to help? I'm just like, you know, let you know, do it. You know, something. You know, it's a little bitty, itty bitty little baby thing because it always just takes that one thing. Some guy there knows how to take it and do some credibility and go all Adam on him.
Fastest thing that you can do to help us that doesn't cost you any money and it won't give you too much carpal tunnel syndrome. If you really want to help spread awareness, Invite at least 50 of your friends to like any one of these Facebook pages, because the more people that read this crap, the more likely they are to want
Boom,
to
Boom, you can do that. You're sitting at your freaking Facebooking right now, aren't you? Aren't you? I can smell you.
Exactly.
You're out there Facebooking. Go to what's on, go into the archive where you're listening to it from or whatever and do it. And it's facebook.com/politicalZachFoster. Z-A-C-H. You also probably
that's my
go,
profile.
Yeah, it's him, and it'll probably go from there. Then there's Mov Lib Venezuela, which is M-O-V-L-I-B-V-Z-L-A. So Mov Lib V-Z-L-A Venezuela.
Yeah, it's short for Movimiento Libertario de Venezuela.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to remember. So then you have
Instituto Mises Mambi.
M-A-M-B-I.
Yeah, like Bambi, but with an M.
You know, I would do, you know, Mambi. How many is going to come up? I don't know. Maybe a lot from Latin America.
Okay. Not a whole hell of a lot.
Partido Libertario Cubano.
Cubano,
so it's P-A-R-T-I-D-O-L-I-B-E-R-T-A-R-I-O. Cubana. Cubano, C-U-B-A-N-O.
Another thing, look at the videos. Share the videos. We have a lot of wonderful footage of actual activism
in Cuba. Just like clicking while they're sitting there.
Share the goddamn video. Yeah, and we actually subtitle a lot of our videos in English so that all of us Americanos know what's going on and what they're talking about.
All right, inspire me. Give me some kind of, I'm willing to do, I've done all kinds of crazy crap. On justice kind of, at just, you know, right when a country, it's like the Soviet Union starts to go. You know, you have Tahrir Square starting to go. Middle East going to, you know, Arab Spring. You got, you know, and that's when they want to do it. You need Pharaoh number 387. And they're going, you know, I think I vote none. Okay, how about that? Well, where do they get that rhetoric from? That's what we were sending them. You own yourself. Oh, people start embracing that. You're effed,
you've
man.
You've got to educate people at the exact moment when they're really angry and looking to do something. And
now.
You're absolutely right about that. So let me tell you one explain. You said inspire you. All right. One of our brothers, Yomar, who is the national coordinator for the libertarian movement of Venezuela, under his leadership, the movement has quadrupled in size. When I started
There's
getting involved with them,
now.
Well, when I got involved, there was only 87, and now they're close to 500.
Whoa.
So they have significantly grown in a short amount of time. Yeah, and another thing is, while millions of people across the country were out protesting in the streets, including in the city of Maracay, which is where he lives, he was out there too with a helmet on and a rag on his face to cover his face, and the National Guard was trying to surround the protesters, and they were launching smoke grenades, and this guy was there with a helmet and a freaking garbage can lid as a shield, handing out literature for the libertarian movement.
Ah! Score! Score, there you go. There you go.
Eat it, stick
there
man.
You go.
So, how, I mean, how many, how many libertarians
I want that
in America
picture.
Have done
you got a
that?
Picture? You got video? Got
yeah, there are videos. Yeah, there's lots of
Boom!
Videos.
Boom! I want man to make, I'll pimp him. He'd be the guy standing in front of the tanks in Tiananmen Square.
Absolutely.
You know, he'd be Adam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial getting the shit kicked out of him. You like getting your butt kicked a lot, don't you? You're pretty big, beefy Marine bench press, at least 300. You're over a 300 guy, aren't you?
Oh, for bench, yeah.
Yeah. So I know.
I thought you meant for weight for a second.
No. I'm like, you're a He-Man woman hater, you know, or lover, whatever. You know, if you're a He-Man, you benched 300, you're in the category, man. You win, okay? But he gets the crap beat out of him all the time. Of course, he's got his hands up letting them do it. But
if they're beating the crap out of me, they can't beat the crap out of someone who gets really hurt from
it. Oh, see, such a hero. Give you a freaking Viking helmet. Okay.
I just had a lot of fun with that in jail in New Orleans recently.
No. We want to talk about that. We want to talk about it. Okay, so we got... Yeah, out and introduced, and let's rock and roll and do it. You give me a banner ad, put up on Freedom's Phoenix. We do a live show. We talk about, and I want that guy. Okay, that guy. I mean, that's bona fides out the hell, man. You know, let's go. You know, so we'll help and do something. I don't know. Somebody will come up with something. I'm willing to do a little something, something. Let's do it. Waiting on you now.
Good deal.
All right, done. So, do I really need to go to the State Libertarian Convention tomorrow?
You don't really. I mean, if you want to see me
that,
looking
is that
really
gonna
good,
help me any?
If you want to see me looking beautiful, I personally, I think that would benefit you, like as far as you know, like the arts, you know, arts and culture, educating yourself.
Don't count that.
No, you can help. You can help him out by showing up just around lunch when he's talking and hanging out.
Yeah, so just show up to the LP State Convention at 12 o'clock.
I'd much rather grandkids stuff. I got, you know, don't we have grandkids that are, like, doing anything?
Well, do grandkids
other than that?
For the other 23 hours that I'm not talking.
I want the hopscotch tournament. Let's go. Let's
now
go.
Now we know why Ernie has grandkids, so he can get out of stuff.
Freaking A, man. Exactly. I'd much rather do that. So, if I can, I'll stop by and just say, I got a lot of friends there, and just say, yo, what's up? But the, I sucked in. Okay. Adam. You causing trouble again? You getting in jail? The man, not you. You making
sir.
Friends?
Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, you don't even say that. I do not consent. I do not consent.
Yeah, I do.
I am complying, but I do not consent.
For the first time of all the times I've been arrested, and I've been saying for several years over 36, and I'm pretty sure I can say over 48 at this point. But I really don't know. But of all the times I've been arrested, I have. Never fully played out the limp and mute strategy, essentially.
Really?
And it doesn't literally mean going limp and mute the whole time, but I played with
Julian Hoglund, it means that.
Well, with Iraq Veterans Against the War, we would do it occasionally as like a sit-in a protest, make them carry you out of there, and then you cooperate and fill out your form for your citation, your court date, and stuff like that. But this time, I went from the very beginning, I'm not getting up out of this chair and walking anywhere.
Okay, they give you a little extra. They give you a little extra twist.
Yeah, they dropped me on my head. Don't worry, it's not the first time. No, they dropped me on my head on a rubber mat on a cement floor, and I got a concussion. I mean, I've had worse concussions playing rugby, but it was a legit concussion. And then I made myself.
Did you go to that doctor?
In jail. But no, I made myself such a pain in the butt just saying, because they would come to me and say, do you want to get your picture taken and have your fingerprints done? And I was like, no attorney, no questions. It's time to do this. Do you want no attorney, no questions? But do you want to do that? That's a question.
The experiment requires that you comply.
Yeah, exactly. and so they figured out after a while that they could carry me around, and then it took them like another day to figure out that it was easier if they put me in a wheelchair. They just picked me up, put me in a wheelchair, and carried me around that way. But they didn't give me the option to change myself into a jumpsuit. They force stripped me. It was a little awkward. I've never been through that before. And then they would carry me around by the jumpsuit and give me really bad wedgies. It was
awkward.
So, yeah, and then but I didn't want to leave. And this was a lot of
Some
fun.
Some of us get bigger wedgies than others.
So yeah, I didn't. Oh man, don't tempt me. So they tried to get me out of jail, and I refused to leave. They came to my cell. I got arrested on Wednesday. Came to my cell Friday night and said, "Well, first they came to my cell Friday morning and said, sir, it's time to go to court." And I said, "Great. How do I arrange to get a shave? I'd like to shave before going to court." I said, "It doesn't work that way." I said, "Okay. Well, how about a suit? I know I have a right to appear in appropriate attire in your before his holy magistrate."
So it's appropriate. You're and not said, able to be a Speedo or right, something?
No, I want to wear a suit. No, just wear a suit.
I know, but I mean, how have they interpreted that?
No, it's an orange.
You interpreted it.
You're wearing an orange
jumpsuit.
They do orange jumpsuits at OPSO.
Well, like Orleans with a veteran's sheriff's
office.
So that you look good.
Yeah, right.
And respectable.
And he said, "No, I'm sorry, sir. That's not how it works this year." And I said, "Well, okay. Then I have one final request. And I will say this again for now well over the 100th time. I would like to make a secure phone call to my attorney. You have his business card in my personal effects. I would like the number from that card and the chance to speak to an attorney before going to court."
Even though I already have it tattooed on my inner eyelid.
Yeah, right. And I wish. No, but he said, "We'll see you next week." And he closed the door on me. But by that night, now just to go back in time to the night they arrested me, that when I was refusing to process, essentially, although I was not refusing, I was simply asserting my right to remain silent in the face of their requests, I started kicking the door because they wouldn't feed me. And first off, I said, like, "Hey, I'm
might as well get some exercise."
Right. I had steel toe boots on. They had to come and take them away from me.
No.
But they had these steel doors. And it's like the dumbest things in jail. I don't know if you've been a cell with one of these, Ernie, but they have these heavy steel doors that shift half an inch in the frame.
So they rattle.
And if you just push them, it makes a loud clanking noise.
Oh.
So you just push it. But I was kicking my steel-toed boots on top of that. Oh, yeah.
Clank.
But even after they took my boots away, I was just laying on the floor in the most comfortable position possible, so as efficiently as possible, with just like the ball of my foot, I would just push,
clank.
Push. But it was, clank. You know, like really loud smacking every single time. And it was so bad. When the cops came to drop people off, they had to stand in front of that cell I was in.
Okay. And somebody go in there and baton his
Yeah,
ass?
Yeah, basically. No, they would put their feet against the door so it couldn't move that half inch. And I just started banging on the door, like playing the drums on the window and the glass. And
you sound like Morpheus. This
so
is
I,
shit
I went,
Morpheus
I went,
did.
But, and I had fun with it. I kept
this
positive attitude
early on.
But I went for 12 hours and it worked. They gave up. They lied so many times. But when they came to get me Friday, they were like, okay, Mr. Kokich, it's time to leave. You're on the list. It came down on the computer. And I said, well, I'm going to need some documentation to show that you're not tricking me. You're not lying to me again to convince me to walk somewhere so that I don't want to go.
Yeah, I ain't going nowhere.
So you better bring me a piece of paper that says all charges
yeah,
dropped
me.
And full release, or I'm not going anywhere. And they said, sir, that's not how it works. It's on the computer, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, let me tell you how this works right now. I'm not leaving the cell until I get the appropriate documentation to which I am legally entitled. And they actually came back an hour later with a piece of paper signed by the judge ordering me released. But it didn't say all charges dropped. So I said, okay, well, before I go anywhere, I need to confirm this by speaking to an attorney. Can I speak to my attorney now? And finally, they came back Saturday morning and said, with the jail attorney there, guy in civilian attire with a badge on around his neck, and he was like just exasperated. And, sir, we need this bed for other people. And inside, I'm going,
yeah, you're not making us any money.
Why don't you stop arresting so many other people then?
No. You weren't producing revenue. There's no reason to get you.
That's not the racket. So they said, okay, sir, we'll let you make a phone call. And they took me to the main jail phone. I said, is this a secure line? And this is in the processing area. And you know, standard jail phones, the pay phones, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, go ahead and try it. And as soon as I tried it, it gives me this phone call. It will be recorded and monitored for safety because you're in jail. And I was like, I just hung up. I said, this isn't a secure line. This is a violation of my rights. I have a right to speak to an attorney. And they said, it got really weird then. They ordered all the inmates that were in the processing area into cells. And they had all this staff, we want this to be repeated. Yeah, no, it got really quiet. Mm-hmm. And this guy one of the guards looked over me. I was like, holy crap, I don't know what's going on. I've never seen anything like this. I don't understand. Why are you refusing to leave jail?
Here, don't use my cell phone, damn it.
So I made him change me back into my civilian clothes. They said, we're taking you out of here. They picked me up by the jumpsuit. As soon as they grabbed me, I went limp. You know, and all, like I said, for all their questions that were of any significance, I said, no attorney, no questions. And, you know, I was friendly, polite, engaging, had a lot of good conversations. I didn't have to literally go limp and mute. But as soon as they laid hands on me to push me somewhere that I didn't want to go, I just went limp. And then, you know, if I had a late... At one point, they came...
Did you just got
to grab me and they
drop
said,
down or yeah, well, did you well, fall on your face? I mean, what was the mechanism by which you went limp?
So the first time they came to grab me and they said, we're going to take you out of here, sir. And I said, I'm not... Well, I just, like, pushed back. I was like, hold on. I'm not resisting. I'm going to lie down. And I'm not going to cooperate because this is what you are doing is unlawful, and I will not be an accessory to your crime. And I just lay down on the floor, and then they pick me up.
And they're going, shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate when he says this.
And then no, but it was
bang his head on the floor.
One of the points, it was really fun when they were wheeling me through the jail. This guard wheeling me was asked by another one who was just guarding the hallway or something. I don't know what she was doing, and she goes, why is that inmate in a wheelchair? And the guy goes, he thinks that what we're doing is criminal and doesn't want to be an accessory. And I was like, yes, you got it. Yes, yes. It was so beautiful.
I win. No,
repeated by a guard. So on the way out, I made them change me back into my civilian clothes. And I made them put me back in a wheelchair and throw my personal effects in my lap and wheel me out to the sidewalk and dump me on the street. and I left with no charges. So now I have a lawyer found me, great guy, Kearney Laughlin, through the LP in Louisiana, and he's really excited to try this case because this all started with the arrest from not showing ID while water stenciling. And apparently the shall
ID, boy.
ID yourself. Exactly. Exactly.
Papers, please.
Yes. And apparently that's a big problem in the several states where that is still precedent, that police can force you to identify yourself without sufficient probable cause.
Well, how many states are we talking about here versus how many?
I don't know. It's a few. But with Louisiana in general, they're basically described to me as, you know, well, Rob Evans is a great Libertarian Party activist there. He was helping us out with the water stenciling, former cop and soldier with the U.S. Army. He was the one driving the truck, actually, with our water stenciling equipement when I got arrested.
You know what my favorite part of the whole thing was? I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my favorite part. They go around ID and they cooperate. Yeah, whatever. They come over, you know, they add them and they're like, you know, ID.
Wait, cooperate? No, I'm live streaming this. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and they he says, well, I won't read you my card. If I don't consent to anything, kiss my ass.
That's Michael Kielski, our friend.
It's awesome. It's all, well, Michael Kielski, yeah.
Do you want me
to
read the card? It's a good card.
Yeah.
I have it here.
Well, Mark Victor was the one that kind of popularized that, and then Michael did it too. And Michael was a master's computer geek, went back to law school, the criminal defense attorney, and the Libertarian state chair for a long time. And go ahead and read it.
I want my attorney. I invoke my right to remain silent. I do not consent to a search of any kind, not me, my effects, premises, immediate location, or vehicle. I hereby invoke all rights, including but not limited to those in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 9th, and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Rights and our state constitution. I want my attorney present before and during any questioning and before discussing any waivers. Am I free to go? But in the case in Louisiana, it was more like, I want my, get those cuffs
doesn't
off
matter,
me.
Doesn't matter, doesn't matter. Okay, this is why the card thing was important. In a criminal defense trial, the first thing Mark will do, did you, you know, advise him of his rights? Did you, you know, did you say this and this and this? And he goes, they go, well, yes, I did. Well, how do you know you said it right? Because I read it right from this here card that I carry with me. And he goes, damn it, that's good. You know, we need to have that card. How did you know? Did you clearly invoke your rights to the B-side? Kind of blah, blah, blah?
Yes, I did.
From this right here card that I got, okay? So that's why that happened.
So this may be a significant case in Louisiana because if
it was on the freaking your video of you taking it, you put it on the card and all that shit. So anyway, so he goes like this, you know, you need IED yourself. Yeah, no, I don't think so, and I'm not, and you know, suck it. So they go back and they do. So now they're like bringing in the boys. They got helicopters, the dogs, whatever the hell they wind up doing, and they just wind. They're going to arrest you. Is what's going to happen because you didn't piss them off. So you didn't kiss the ring, boy. So you know, here it comes. So here comes the other guy. He goes up to Adam and he goes, you know, they were just going to let us go. But you didn't show him your ID. And then you go, you believed him? And I'm like, fucking A. Don't believe some bitching thing. Now, they may have let him go. You think they would have let you go if you hadn't have done that?
I think what set him off more was that I was videotaping.
Yeah, and also, you know,
but then the shall ID was an excuse.
They're not going to cite. They're going to cite you with something. I mean, you're going to get a ticket.
Did they
get a ticket?
So they...
Did the driver get
Rob,
a traffic ticket?
Yeah, because they thought we were spray painting, and we weren't. We were water stenciling, which is
cleaning.
Cleaning.
I know, that's awesome.
Pressure washing
through
a stencil.
Awesome. I don't know what the hell we're going to do that one.
Yeah, I can't believe... I am actually shocked that Ernie had not heard of it when I learned of it
water stenciling?
A couple months ago.
Never thought of it.
I know.
Never crossed my mind.
It wasn't my idea. I saw some company doing it for some commercial.
Just like you're making stencils during Levolution. Yeah. You cut out these stencils, this waterproof wallboard
really
stuff
easy.
Was the best.
Super cheap.
Yeah. You could, you know, digital project on it. You can do a paper overlay
and
kind of, you know, cut it out, whatever. So then you take spray paint and you do it and you make, you know, on anything. Well, you're spray painting. Oh, that'd be bad. Which is what is very fortunate during the Levolution. There wasn't any graffiti. People didn't do that kind of
right.
stuff.
You don't like, you know, the sign, take it down. It's going to take you 2 minutes.
You know, it was
easier than bitching about it.
It showed a lot of work, man. I thought it was a lot of discipline, a lot of, you know, anybody would have done it, they wouldn't have been the voluntarist they were advocating to be. So how do you do that? Go. And what Adam wanted to do, well, one, he made a bunch of signs, you know, that had, you know, these plastic stuff signs. Then he came up with the idea of the stencil, and you take a pressure washer. And if you've ever taken pressure washer on concrete, you know, it rinses off the dirt. The it turns a lot lighter.
Well, it's that when you have a cement surface exposed near vehicles operating, it collects black grime, and it goes from light
mostly
gray
from
to
tires.
Dark gray.
Yeah, the blackness from the tire, and then some grease and dirt and and freaking puke on the New Orleans streets of whatever, and it's a French Quarter there, and then freaking they don't have their sidewalks are black, you know. So what he does is he put that on there, you pressure wash over it, boom, it's got his Freedom logo on there. Boom.
Yep.
Boom. A little bit of water, and yep. I was cleaning it, officer. Just yep. little pieces so, I want to.
So back to the traffic stop, Ernie. The officer, in order to justify detaining me and triggering the Shall ID precedent, he had to legitimize an investigation. So he was investigating this traffic stop, and in order to legitimize his investigation,
that's good.
To find Rob guilty of stopping illegally by pretending to be broken down on the side of a freeway in violation of Louisiana State Highway Code, whatever the hell it is. And he had to Google
it. I got
to watch
him.
I was in the back of the squad car. I watched him on his laptop Google the code for this. I'm like, you don't even have your own database for this stuff? Like, really? Yeah, it's Google. Yeah, they just Google. And it was, he Googled something
that'd
like,
that'd be awesome.
Like if your brain was like transplanted magically into a cop's body and you were pretending to be a cop and you're like, wait, what is this has got
to
be illegal, right?
How to be a cop.
Stopping Google. On the side of the freeway, unlawfully, Google.
No!
And it's like,
holy
yeah,
shit,
holy
shit.
Doing.
Google for cops. You
so,
know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, you want to make up some shit. What is he doing? I will make up something. He it was an environmental hazard of water with the dirt without being treated as something.
So he very clearly actually said that in and of itself was legal, that water stenciling, although, you know, that police officer could have been mistaken that day and they'll arrest you for it the next time. But no, that was actually the first day I was in New Orleans for the book bomb. Welcome to Louisiana. And actually,
I know what it did.
We had just crossed into the parish.
You know what it did? It had me make a big front page story about it.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, I go, all right, I get arrested, you get a story.
It's going to be
pulling all the shit and the links and everything.
It's going to be an ongoing one because I have a great lawyer who really wants to take this on. But I'm defending myself in my case in Texas. I'm going to have a lot of fun with that one.
All right, Texas.
That's a criminal case. It's different.
Texas in the RV, driving, they go, and you got marijuana. I don't care about your card and kind of your marijuana, and you're going to jail.
But, Ernie, I would be remiss to not mention some of our outcomes so far from the book bomb already because...
All right, go.
I had, in some ways, a false expectation of you know, an immediate impact, you know, and you're right, you're planting seeds. And it takes 3 hours to listen to my audiobook, you know, let alone read the paper book itself. But
it's airplane flight from Phoenix to Atlanta.
Exactly. The immediate response has actually been pretty incredible. I've been invited to do a 30-foot-high mural with the Freedom logo. And
on what?
On the side of a building.
Which building?
Where it's in the city, where it's a pretty prominent location. It's a busy street.
You're not allowed to say. Are you going to do it by cleaning it or painting it?
Oh, no. This is, I'm being invited by the building owner to paint a mural.
Don't give a shit. They're like, you're being free over there on your building. You're so freaking not allowed to have more news coverage.
Yeah. So, no, we're gonna have fun with this. And
but how are you doing? Are you painting on it?
Yeah.
Or I guess it's
painting. Well,
all right.
Paint. I'm not pretending that suddenly I'm going to be some great muralist artist. It's more a matter of design. I'm pretty handy with design. And then execution for the mural is going to be stencils and spray paint.
Yeah, whatever.
And
projecting. Yeah, Andy
and
Warhol made so much doing silk screens. Are you freaking kidding me?
Exactly. So,
you know,
hopefully I can get
We could stencil Andy Warhol. Like versions of different like American dictators or like different people who have committed war crimes. Like we have Henry Kissinger up there and then like Bill Clinton during the Bosnia years.
That'd actually, that'd be a really fun version of like a Banksy style stencil campaign of like war criminal.
That would be great.
You know,
I love Banksy
and,
shit.
Like,
it's
you
just
do, you
piss
do
them
famous
off.
Historical ones and then you include current politicians. Anyway, so there's a high likelihood that I'm going to be invited to do a few more murals in the city. And I'm probably gonna have a float in one of the Mardi Gras parades. And so what I'm thinking is the state of Louisiana as a three-dimensional object, which looks like a boot, kicking the Capitol building and just big letters, give DC the boot. I think that's a, just a beautiful way of capturing at least of the presidential campaign,
you know,
that message in a
fun float.
I just
know that you're gonna piss off all the right people. It's just everybody's pissed off.
Well, we're hoping to piss off all the left people too.
Well, so I mentioned the lawyer.
All the correct people.
There's a local band reached out to me after the book drop who had never heard of me before and said, "We just read the book in a hurry and we're on board. We want to host a concert for you." So that's in the works. I'm moving to New Orleans basically for the next month and a half, starting Monday, and we also made the front page of the biggest newspaper in the state, the New Orleans Advocate.
You know, that's cool. And the guy was influenced by it. He knew who you were and so on. It's always, you know, planting seeds. You know, that's a, you know, like Zach, that's the deal, man. You do all this and it creates an environment. You get that one television producer or that one, you know, editor or that one reporter, that one journalist, that one columnist, that one student that goes on and the CEO, the blah, 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 blah. It's always that guy. But it came from somewhere. And from getting off your ass and doing stuff like what you're talking about, I want to help. Because I guarantee there's going to be a good story. Yes, and Pirates Without Borders did the blah, 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 and they gave free pirate shirts to my little kid that was freezing to the something. I mean, you know, I my biggest thing is power. You know, you send them a little thing, they got power or some way to make the power, doing power to get power. That would be awesome. You know, freedom powers, power, freedom and powers or some shit like that. You know, I just think that would be so useful for, you know, when it's going down, because it's going to hit electricity. That's the last thing to go. They always keep electricity on until they don't, you know, and it's just like the oil refineries. They keep going until they don't. And then you have, oh, this is what happened in Venezuela today. Venezuela gave...
Oh, hold on. He's going to tell a story.
No. There's not a story, just a headliner. Venezuela gave Russia permission to mine gold in Venezuela.
Don't
okay?
surprise.
Boom! Like the next day, hell no, the U.S., we is so not allowed, we going to war, okay? This is what this whole thing, that's why, you know, Russia sent the bomber there. We got enough for sending the bomber. You know, go land there to say, yo, what's up? And I go, you know, how you want to play this? So this is so awesome, you know, just to sit here and watch this game being played, and right in the middle of it, you're helping at the base foundation, because you know it's just going to get bad. You just want just something good, useful, to have some data in there, SD card, Wi-Fi, download the whatever to kind of on your phone. And I'm just saying that crypto wallets, get smart cash to go down with you. They're big in, well, that's Portugal, so they're Portuguese, but, you know, Bitcoin Cash, I mean, it's kind of save the planet. You know, yeah. Talk to Roger and come over, rock and roll, and do something.
Bitcoin is still a thing.
You don't have to cost him money. You know, just not a big giant. We need a whole bunch. You know, give me like a your endorsement and a logo and a write a story and we'll go and have them maybe $1,000.
Yeah, anybody who's got a blog, anybody who's got a podcast, a website, anything. Yeah, just write a story about these guys.
No,
just make
more
people aware of them. Give those people some links.
I remember when Bitcoin was used to fund an immediate help to the Philippines. It had some big crisis. It was a hurricane or a typhoon or something that went through. You remember that? You know, Stephanie Murphy, you know, had free aid, had some money that just Bitcoin immediately went there.
Yeah.
You go through all the bullshit and yeah, whatever, man. They got Bitcoin there and they had people exchange and cash and it was worth something there. So she goes, this is how we can help them. Boom. So Venezuela is now. If you can do it with Cuba and we can help them with everything, I'm on it. So you're just, you're not doing waiting on you now.
All right,
I mean, cool,
you
know, yakety, 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 you don't want to hear it. You know, rock and roll, let's do something. Because now's the time. And well, I'm in.
There are specific supplies that they need, and also we need to be able to pay a number of people to be full-time libertarian activists.
No, not getting billions of dollars. This is to let the people do it themselves, and somebody will pump up this one guy or something like that. I mean, it's not get too grandiose here, man. It's not create
no,
an organization.
No, it's nothing like that.
It's the controlling you have to let go of.
Yeah, you know, if you create an organization, immediately the organization becomes more important than the reason you created it. You know, it's called Steiger's Law, man. It happens every freaking time. I ain't for building up nothing. It's for giving somebody that's there actually doing something, some street cred, and some help, and let it and nurture it and let it go. You know, then when you got that under your belt, you do that a few times, then they're like, well, shit, man, we need that. Keep doing that. You know, we go to that guy. You know?
Well, hey, I actually have to argue. We are the opposite of that law you just talked about, because the organization itself is the least important thing. Our mission is the number one most important thing, which is why even though we've been doing what we've been doing for almost 2 years, I just finally got around to sending the damn 501c3 papers to the IRS.
Nah, you
with
ain't
the stupid
yourself
slavery.
Anymore with me for that.
Oh, well, see, the thing is, we would have a lot better opportunities if we'd just done the stupid paperwork years ago, but I've raised the money that we needed multiple times, but every time we raise the money, somebody gets arrested or somebody gets in the hospital, or we have somebody's
so
got a sick
that.
Kid.
See?
Yeah, you know, that's the problem. We have real emergencies
I'm more
with our
for
activists.
The project, however you can benefit from it. It's just like Roger. You would benefit from street cred, and it goes
we
up
take
and
care
does
of the people
and,
who are doing the projects.
Well, you know, he benefits from whatever. You can benefit from the project, but my project ain't going to be you to be able to do projects. You know, that ain't going to happen. So you give me the project. I'm like, for the, you know, what, and what would you do with this? Okay, I'll help you do that.
Well, let's just say that you believe very strongly in what Adam here is doing, and then next thing you know, he gets hit in the hospital, and he's in the ER, and he's got, you know, a disease, and we have no idea what we're going to be able to do for him unless we raise a bunch of money really fast just to fucking keep him alive. Otherwise, his activism ends.
Spend the
it's
money on
like
books
the
instead.
Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's
it's
how it happens.
Like same thing with
no,
our big,
see, it's
heavy
not
hitters.
A person. See, you're putting it around a guy. Yeah. You know,
I'm
he,
not putting
he,
it around guys.
No, screw
I'm
him. He coffee left it in his book. It's mine
and
now.
I just gave you an example. But,
it's mine
but,
now.
Take that story. You can do that for these Venezuelan activists for like $20-$25. You help put people
support
food
the
on
troops.
People's
yeah,
tables
I need,
for weeks.
I, you know, I need to. You know, we'll come up with something.
If you
I,
want people out there in the streets fighting Maduro and handing out libertarian
literature, I'm not giving
anybody
a salary either.
You have
that's
to.
Why I want to give them, you know, something that, you know, will help people, has good branding, put a logo on it, stickers, whatever the hell, and they can sell it. They can make money for it. You want Brown Guy? I'm going to give them money. Give them a way that they can actually make or do or be an impact on. You know, it's totally different. I'm not. I don't think charity doesn't work in this kind of thing. You help them. You serve them. Serve them doing whatever they want to do. This fine. Let me help you do it. I'm not. You know. I'm not. You know. Pay your rent. You know. I that's not my
We're
job.
We're not paying anybody's rent.
That's not my job. Not my job. Not my job.
No, you that's know? Not your job. But no, I'm saying
just,
anybody who wants to keep that thing going, because that's the problem. I mean, we do have some people there that we help out more than others because they are full-time libertarian activists and also they cannot work. So I'm not saying that we just give them money to pay the bills. Like what you said, charity doesn't work. Help these people be entrepreneurs. We help these people be entrepreneurs.
Well,
by paying for their internet credit, by paying for their internet rations, they're able to do freelance work on the internet, which is why a lot of English-speaking Cubans and Venezuelans are working on Upwork or Freelancer.com right now. There's another family. We subsidize it so that they can buy enough flour and bread that they need to bake their sweets and run an illegal bakery out of their place. Other folks are trying to run an illegal internet cafe by making Wi-Fi things, man. Everybody's got different ways.
Let me tell you my way. This is my way, not organizations. It's individual. You give me a project that you can slap your crap on and you did and help and kind of whoever else can help and do and they get to slap their thing on, we'll do it. But I is not organization. I am not building an organization. I, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's your thing. And I, you know, so my thing is to help you promote your organization, you know, because somebody needs to organize it.
Uh-huh.
You're right. Somebody needs to go, okay, organize what? This thing. Okay, let me help you with that thing. Yeah, but you should, you know, like, you know, help me to where I can do. Yeah, no, I can just do the thing myself. You know, I want to help you because you build up your credibility. Then people start giving you money to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got going. Yeah, give me something going. I'll help you get going. So, you know, peace out. They go to you. Boom. See, this is what Adam's done. Adam has actually done stuff. I mean, it's just so much. You want me to keep doing this again? You want me to do this again? You want me to do this again? Which is why he had to get this freaking New Orleans book bomb out, because he was pinky swearing and promising, doing kind of crap happens, you know, but he got it done. Got it freaking done. Done, 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 done. Now let's do it again. Do it again. Let's do it again. So are people supporting?
Actually, I might have figured out a way to do a national book bomb for like a 15th of the cost of actually book bombing the entire country. We do Washington, D.C.
It's a 15th. It's only 3 million.
10
million.
No, it's 8 million versus 120 million. It would cost about 120
well,
million.
Well, hell, let's just do it then.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what's 8 million between friends, right? Come on, Ernie.
For Whatever. Okay, give me your $8 million story.
No, it's a $3 million $3 million to put 2 million books in the district in every residential mailbox and every business and government mailbox in the district and then the metro area as well.
The district, I mean,
Columbia.
Okay, so this is just DC, Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Okay, got
no,
it.
It's a national thing because then we have a national billboard campaign that would cost about $5 million.
We gave them a book and they know, so now it's their legal prey.
And every billboard.
I mean.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, what's the point? Well, no, you're doing it in Washington, D.C. gives a crap what they think. Let them right on
because
the line.
Because then you can put up 435 billboards, and you know why 435 billboards.
Oh, because you're going to their congressional districts.
So you make sure that the mail delivers the book called Freedom
to Congressman
to every
what's
single
his face?
Member of Congress.
Oh, yeah, okay,
and then
okay.
You put a billboard in their districts that say, Freedom, brought to you by whoever wants to
okay, so the money's not for the direct mail. It's for the billboard campaign.
It's about
Well, I mean, it's not like are you like giving it to every freaking person in D.C.?
It's $2 million for books and about $5 million for billboards. Although, you know, we could bring either – I think the billboard effect – I'm currently doing the research and getting quotes to put my next big proposal for a project for Book Bomb together, and it's going to be D.C. And if I can – pull it off at this scale, it's going to be a national event with a national billboard campaign. And the billboards will say, Freedom, brought to you by so-and-so. Call your representatives to ask about freedom today. And then in parentheses, they all have a copy of the Freedom Book. Their name and office number for the representative and the senators. And if we have the money for the... billboard campaign.
All
right, right,
Zach, that's what I'm talking
about.
Give me a freaking thing.
Where
you know?
People
give me a thing.
Are
we'll get the money
in
for the
traffic
thing.
And feel like harassing their representatives.
All right.
Send us $100 in Bitcoin, and in 10 days, we'll make an illegal economics course happen in one of the provinces outside of Havana, like we've done before.
All right.
So, if now, anybody's out there listening and they're not bullshitting, like, you want to see something happen, send me $100 in Bitcoin. We'll make this shit happen.
Ernie, do you mind if I make a,
here you go.
Take a minute to
get
make a bigger point
There's
here
project.
About this conversation?
What?
You've always made great points about the dynamics of this in historical terms, but there's one way that I've synthesized some of your points that I think might drive this home for a lot
He's
of people.
Got a bumper sticker for me.
Right. No. This is. I'm just telling people how right you are about everything because you're Ernest.
No, I'm waiting for the bumper sticker.
You are so
I got a new
right
bumper sticker
about everything. No, it's that these kinds of critical mass moments where this kind of guerrilla activism takes off and becomes a thing. It like you say, it can't happen with an organization. It can't happen with a single personality. It can't depend on one person. It has to be something that people can do because they saw other people doing it and they were inspired and they finally felt safe in doing so because they realized that they weren't alone. And a lot of what we're doing is planting seeds, but every seed that we're planting is also taking a shot at that critical mass moment happening and we're building to it at the same time.
Well, give me the bumper sticker, man.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
No, okay. Yeah, I already knew that.
Where did I hear that? Where did I hear that?
Why I do that? Everybody was like, you know, okay, I tell you what happened. I'm a young guy, late 20s, early 30s. I come across my first libertarians, and I'm going, yeah, but what about? You know, what about the children? What about the dogs? I mean, whatever. You know,
the
what
hell
about
with them?
Yeah, what about the roads? Yeah, go to Venezuela.
The hell with those
dogs. Eat dogs. Anyway, so
go to New Orleans.
So the what about? And they damn libertarians had an answer for freaking everything. And I just go, oh, I get it. Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
Yeah.
So that was a big epiphany for me. And if you can give a lot of examples, and you have like his book, or you got like the Ron Paul campaign, or you got a lot of the spontaneous order of people doing whatever the hell, they see it as possible, and it's peaceful, and they're cool people you want to hang out with, they're cool kids, and you're going, damn, okay, and you change public opinion. Public opinion is the goal. That is the goal. So how can I help do that? That's, that'll be, you want to know the consistency of who I'm helping and why and how is, how many minds can I free? You know, it's what, you know, so give me a product, you know, you come up with that, and, you know, Zach will put in there, at the end of the show in the archive, we'll get a QR code for you, we can put whatever, boom, show Zach some love and kind of, you know, and go get some. And then, you know, Namco Cash might want to put a billboard in every district, that'd be good. So it's just... Ask them about freedom. They got the book. Hey, just piss them off for $8 million.
Ask your congressman about freedom today.
You know, it's like if I was a gazillionaire. Let me see. I got like a couple million here. I can throw those. That's my cigar lighting money or something. I mean, you know, whatever. you know who you are. So I'm just going. This is. You think that and you go. You push the button. You write the check. You know, you just push the button. Let's push the button if it's Bitcoin.
Well, right.
Bitcoin Cash. Boom, I pushed the button. It's done. So this is the kind of stuff. And you know what's happened? Oh, this is why they were so freaking scared. After the first in Acapulco, they were so worried, you know, about what the first in Acapulco, they were all about the agents there. They wanted to know how you're going to deal with taxes. That was one thing. And if the Ron Paul revolution was so much a part of Bitcoin and it coming up, how are you guys going to be using crypto to elect Rand Paul president? That was their big... If I had anybody coming up and questioning me, you felt like you'll spot the Fed stuff, you know, which they are definitely there. You know, that was the question. It was taxes, and how are you guys going to be funding Rand Paul? They just thought it was just, well, of course you're going to get Ron Paul's son, and you guys are all gazillionaire freaking crypto guys. That's what you're going to do, right? And that's back when it was like, I don't know,
$200.
Yeah, $200 don't mean shit. Now they're going, oh no, make it stop. So this is, you know, so these guys, I'm going, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking some books to DC and some billboards might not be a bad idea. Well, unless you come up with a better one.
Right. Well, it's pretty crazy to find myself in this position where I'm so grateful to have such an exciting role in this movement and to know that we have the support. Like, I'm putting together, a $7 million-ish proposal, and I already have a list of people that I can pitch it to whom I have a reason.
Yeah, see, you got to deliver, though, man. You got to freaking deliver.
We just delivered 204,000.
And don't be the one pulling the cord on the catapult, little kitten in the swirl cactuses on YouTube. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's kind of... You know, or the kitten gets it. You know what I mean?
Is that what we have to do for mainstream?
$8 million or the chick, the kitten gets it. The catapult.
Oh, okay. That's a good. I like that fundraising strategy. Fortunately, it's not necessary anymore.
Yeah, but you know, this is, you know, one thing that was kind of cool is that. I keep going on. You know, the criteria that I want for a free internet is that I get to have my, you know, catapult, my little furry kittens in the cactuses, and nobody can take down the video. I go, can you guys take down the video? Well, hell, man, these coders, they're all got a cat in their lab. You damn Skippy, I'll kick your ass, you know? And I go, yeah, well, when you can't, then the internet's free. Tell me where I can put my video that you can go get, and I got little baby furry kittens getting catapulted, okay? You can do that, and you can tell me how free you are. So I do that with all these guys. And finally, it's like IPFS servers and DTube and kind of library, and we have all these, you know, Jeremy Kopner at library, and they're talking, we do all this stuff. So I'm going, all right, we'll move some stuff over, and we're making the shift to our files, and we're getting all decentralized and stuff, and that's our project we're working on now. But the thing is that I remember there was a campaign, do this, donate that, or the dog gets it. It had a revolver to his head. You guys remember that meme? So the dog gets it, but the internet's cats.
Yeah.
And it's for sure. You know, send it in. Or that cat gets launched, you know, or something.
Kittens.
Yellow kittens. And then you have another sororal cactus, and it's just full of little kittens, you know. Take that down. Oh, you want to get some attention? Even threaten to harm a hair on a kitten on the internet, and everybody's going.
Well,
Ernie, if you really
just want to get away with killing kittens without anybody noticing, all you have to do is tell the mainstream media that they're libertarian kittens, and they,
which is why, like, right, right now, we need to take advantage of Republican outrage. So put a MAGA hat on the little fuzzy kitten.
Nah, they're gonna kill that kitten.
Yeah, they're gonna kill the kitten, guys.
Yeah, that would be funny.
You have to kill the kitten, and then we'll never have
MAGA
a wall.
Kittens and take votes. Which one gets lost? You know, all right, who dies? You know, it's like, yeah, screw this crap. But that's, But that's negative. I would never do that. That'd be bad. But the point that I was making with that, it'd be kind of, I'm not doing it. But the point is,
yeah, I'm
pretty
sure I'm the only vegan here, so I could actually say that.
Oh man, I'm going all beef now. I went all Jordan Peterson, but I've done that before and it does work pretty well for me. So between now and Narcopoco, I'm just gonna beef it up and have whatever.
Look really good on the beach, Ernie.
Yeah, better. I don't want. It's really disappointing.
Are
you
challenging me to a pose down?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Shit.
I
better get in shape.
And all these people start hurling as you walk by. I mean, that's not good.
Okay, Grandpa.
Oh yeah. And they got the nude pool and the strip club and everything. Nude pool. Yeah. Oh, bleh, we got clean the pool. Ernie walked by. So no, it's just a health thing. I knew I was going to do this after the holidays because it's freaking cookies and sugar but man, it really takes a toll on you. That stuff's corrosive. And I'm going, man, I gotta.
Hey, you don't have to make fun. Hey, you don't have to make fun of yourself like that. It hasn't gotten that bad.
Yeah, it could be better. But it is a health thing. I was like worried I wasn't going to be able to spend a lot of time with grandkids. I started eating a lot better and juicy and all this other crap. And I feel pretty good. So now I'm looking, I go, screw this. I'll go great grandkids. Woohoo!
Oh, you're going to make it to longevity escape velocity, Ernie. We're already there. You're
oh, yeah.
Young, you're
I
young
remember that
fit.
In your book. All right. Yeah. Longevity escape velocity to see how much I'm paying attention. What Adam's saying is he goes.
I got this from Aubrey de Grey, by the way.
Yeah, who gives a shit? You wrote it down. It's in your damn book. You win. So. It's IP crap and then credit to everything. I'm like, if I gave credit to everybody, I don't even know where I thought.
Right, because
it.
Anybody
Get
would
it.
Figure this out if they thought about it long enough. Whatever. That life expectancy is going up due to technology, and technology is accelerating, and that it's information processing that determines our ability to heal ourselves, and that is accelerating in accordance with Moore's Law exponentially. And at some point, life expectancy is going to start going up by more than 1 year per year, at least our capabilities in terms of life expectancy. Basically, if you're young today, if you're 50 today and life expectancy is roughly 80 and technology does not improve at all in the next 30 years, odds are you will die at about 80. However, in the next 30 years, we're going to come up with a lot of amazing stuff. And by the time you get to 100, we'll have, and again, Dr. Aubrey de Grace, he says it, by the time you get to 100, we'll have cured all the diseases that 100-year-olds die of, all the decay, all the expiration dates of your organs. We will have replacements. We will have ways to fix them. And you will, the conclusion of this is that if you live to the point where life expectancy capacity, if you will, is going up by more than 1 year per year, you have reached the point of longevity escape velocity, which basically means no one dies of old age unless they choose to.
And in Pirates Without Borders, Dr. Idris Barber has a letter on these things. the one thing, that we emphasized in that is that the right to die. When the Crown says, no, you're not allowed to die. You're like our property.
Suicide. Yeah. Suicide is illegal. Excuse me. What? I remember.
How are you going to pay taxes when you're dead?
I've never cited this, Ernie, but that I learned that when I was like 7 or 8 years old, that suicide was illegal. And that might have been the moment I became a libertarian.
It did strike me as pretty stupid. And they go like this. Well, there's a crime because they attempted suicide. They didn't.
Right, right.
I go, well, you better do it better next time. You're going to go to jail, man. I was like, God, this is so, 12-year-olds. You want to know how stuff is? You call bullshit on stuff? Ask a 12-year-old. Just go, what do you think of this? I think that's bullshit. That's what I think. Yeah, you're probably right. Or George Carlin, whichever is first. Okay, it's, let's see. Medical technologies are accelerating to the point that we can increase human performance beyond regular health. Artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, cloning, robotics, and brain-computer integration could take the human condition beyond our imagination.
Oh, yeah.
In time, medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, provide super strength, overcome paralysis, and erase our fundamental human limitations. With the Crown in our wake, and the individual at the helm will be free to pursue an unfettered life.
Heck yeah.
That is from, it's the last paragraph of a whole big thing on medicine from Dr. Idris Barber, Open Ocean Medicine. He's our barber. and doctor on the precariat.
Well, I think I can almost prove just by pointing out a couple existing technologies that we're about to become wizards, historically speaking. Because we have 3D printing, right? And we have molecular 3D printing. We can literally rearrange molecules if we want. And we are about to have this technology integrated with our brains, as you pointed out. We are about to get all of this smaller than we could imagine. That 3D printer that can rearrange molecules is eventually going to fit on the tip of your finger. And it's going to be connected to your brain. You are going to be able to zap shit into existence out of what we used to refer to as thin air.
You know, that's one thing. I remember there was a Star Trek Next Generation thing where this one planet were kidnapping the kids on the Enterprise because they didn't have any because. So they were going trying to entice them to stay there, and they had gave them this wand thing, and this kid goes, boom, and it was a beautifully sculpted wood dolphin. You know, just boom. And he goes, wow, did I do that? It was always in you. You just needed the tool, okay? So I'm going, this is where we're going. Desktop manufacturer. I got, what I got over there? I got DVD duplicators. I got a 3D printer in there. I got a ghost gunner sitting over there. I got, you know, miners out there. I love me some robots. Robots are good. But I don't need a freaking surveillance grid. Oh, check this crap out. We were doing Bob's Dome up there and everything. And I see that he goes, yeah, check this out. He goes, I got, you know, his home, his family passed, and he eventually became the executor of a home in Massachusetts near Boston. So he's like, you know, here I'm got this any movement or so on, and I get this video surveillance. It goes on a web on my phone. I just tap it, and I can see, and it notifies me, and all that kind of, you can answer your door kind of crap, right? So it's there in Massachusetts, and that is property out here in Tonopah. So he's got, and he goes, yeah, it's very cool. Look at this. I just found out Ring is owned by Amazon. And he's out on the total lone prairie, not a single anything going into him, except there's, you know, his internet, you know, microwaved or satellite, whatever the hell it is. Yeah. And so he's kind of off the grid, but then he's got Uncle Amazon sitting there watching everything and his property back up going, seriously? And he goes, I know, man. It's just, you know, yeah, it's too late. But so this is the kind of, you know, stuff we got to worry about. I need to go pirate. I need all this kind of pirate stuff, not into the grid pirate. Boom, boom, boom.
Hey, someone, you know, people ask me all the time, why New Orleans? And
why not Phoenix? What the hell are you thinking?
Well, you're the one who got me watching the series Black Sails.
Yeah.
And if there's a city in the world today or in America today,
it's kind of piratey.
That's anything close to what was?
Yeah, it was Nassau.
Nassau. Yeah. It was, well, it was a fictionalized historical version of Nassau. If people like me lived in cities, they would be New Orleans.
Yeah, I could see New Orleans being all piratey. Okay, I'm hip. You know, we were Dade City, like 35 miles northeast of Tampa in Florida, where I grew up as a kid. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, everything was about pirates in Florida. You know, as a little kids, we got pirates. And,
Florida man!
You know, pirate. Where is that from? Florida man. If it's some Florida guy on man. The internet.
No, every time there's a headline, Florida man.
Oh, Florida man
eats
does this thing.
Someone's face off on basalts. Florida right. man gets testicles chewed off by alligator.
Yeah, it was kind of a
Florida
meme on the internet. The Florida man thing.
Dog to python in the swamp, or, you know, it's Florida man.
You know, there's some psyop to that. There's a Florida man. You can't go find them in Florida. They got 67 counties, and they just like, you know what, you know, we don't, they're not interfaced, you can't confirm it. Oh yeah, it's another thing. You know, scopes and all that kind of stuff. We're starting to see a bunch of stuff. They're just part of the grid. You know, this is good and this is bad. So saith us, and we lied anyway. So I'm wondering, on your social media stuff, both of you guys, well, you know, Zach is all Facebooked up, but, you know, I'm wondering, is there anything else on the horizon that you're investing time in that you think is, you know, it's going to kind of take over some stuff?
Online?
Yeah, social media. Yeah, you know.
Well, part of the dilemma with social media,
because you got like Minds and Steemit and all that.
Yeah,
FBS,
but you have
you?
A critical mass problem. I mean, the statists would love nothing more than for all the libertarians to leave their, you know, mainstream platforms and go have our own little conversation amongst ourselves. And,
yeah,
and,
decentralized. You know, it's all good.
I've come to
the state is a freaking mindset. Cattle prod, man. They create, you know, what do you call them? Stampedes.
Right. So if
you you just be there, they'll find you. I guarantee
right,
it.
Right. So if I create content now, it's for an audience, not for a platform. I don't have any investment in any particular one. The evolution of, I think, decentralized open source social media is on the horizon, but we're a ways from critical awareness that we can make that crossover.
I've done a show on this, talking to the guys and so on, and we'll talk about it later. But the biggest thing that I see now, there's so much stuff. You know, it's moving everything from this internet, but you got to have another internet, and the IPFS thing is working. Then you got search and IPFS inside the search of the fields that kind of you're doing. It's going to be like the BBSs used to be and the way Yahoo started. Because I remember as a young activist, you know, in my early 30s, all of a sudden what happens? You have this internet thing, and we're like, oh, we're getting the top 5%, a lot of awards the guys are doing. We're kicking ass, and we're having fun with it. You know, send the Republicans in Washington the balls they need to repeal the assault weapons ban. And it was two golf balls in a nylon stocking, you know, ankle stocking. And it just had, because we got, a postal carrier, he knows how to do it. You just put a mailing label onto it, and they just mail it. You got these little testicles all going to Washington to the Republicans. Give them the balls they need to repeal, because we had the logo was a big elephant that, you know, we put that little scrotum, and it has a golf tee with a 44 Magnum, you know, pounding the golf tee in, you know, to kind of get it set. Jeez. To give them balls back, right? Why? Because it was from golf, the Gun Owners Liberation Front, you know? And Miguel Cartero, which is Mike, he's a mailman. So Miguel Cartero is Mike the mailman or something, right? So he'd have this little beret and a beard and he kind of, you know, sunglasses. You're like a bandito, man. Huh. And he had the cross things, you know, the straps that you have with ammunition. Yep. And that golf tees in it and stuff. And the logo was an AK-47 with, you know, stuck in the ground with a bayonet, and the butt was it was a golf tee with a big ball that said golf on it. You know, okay. And we had the front nine cell structure and the back nine and all that. Just being dicks. Well, Claire Wolf wrote the book, 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution, put us in there along with Safe, Second Amendment is for Everyone. We're doing this kind of stuff. So at the time when all these web efforts were going viral, they're equivalent of viral amongst anybody that had an account, which were mostly libertarians, they would be like, make it into politics. So everybody's on some email list. If you're in politics or Second Amendment was really organized, you know, this made a big splash. To whom? The people that were on and doing this kind of stuff. Well, how do you get, you know, this out? Here comes Yahoo. A couple of guys from college, they start Yahoo, and they had stuff up they thought was cool. Hey, we just got a search and it's cool. We found this cool thing. Cool, it's up there. It's cool. This thing we thought this was cool. It's cool. Isn't this cool?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, whatever the hell they just thought was cool. Then they go, here's a format by which you get to fill out these fields and keywords, and you register the engine. You put the stuff up. You submit the whatever. And I remember when that was happening, that's what IPFS is going to start doing. IPFS, when you put up content, you're going to put in there, you format your own IPFS that integrates with the internet or the whatever, and what do? You go, here's the headline, here's the date, here's the keywords, here's the summary, here's the whatever the hell, goes in the fields, IPFS searcher that you customize on your own browser, boom! Decentralized, and man could suck it! Because they are so manipulating us with all this search stuff, they went to Google, because they can. And you supply all the content of my favorite movie, Favorite Line, and all my friends on Facebook and Signal. I'm sitting, that's the story I was going to tell before we ended. How much time we got? I can end it, I can do it, and everybody get to have their last say. This is my thing.
Why don't we sign off and we'll let Ernie tell a story?
Nah, shut up. You get to tell your end story. I get to go first. You guys go second and third. All right, here we go. I have Brian Sovereigns from Sovereign Tech on. He's going on about, pirate communications. Yeah, you need signals. Whisper technology that did WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, all these guys. And then WhatsApp gets bought by Facebook. I don't feel any better. Okay? So I'm sitting, I'm going, all right. So this technology is that, you know, it's encrypted and they don't see what's up. And I go, really? Okay. So I download it. Before that 10-minute segment was over, all of a sudden on my phone, it's going bleep, 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 bleep. Welcome to Signal. Welcome to Signal. Hey, Ernie's on Signal. I go, hey, Ernie, you're on Signal. Word up, man. Peace. And I go, well, I didn't take long. How the hell did they know that? Because they go in, I totally agreed that they go into your contact list and know every fucking body that's in your pirate network. And then they know who you sent it to. It's by phone number. Oh, but they don't know what I say. Are you fucking kidding me? It was some freedom guy talking to another freedom guy. It was probably about freedom, you know? So I'm going, you know, God, what they wanted
was
your metadata.
About
they wanted to know who you're talking
government.
To. They wanted to know your database. They wanted to know your network. And I'm going, if they don't have it to where they don't know that I even said anything.
I was just telling Ernie
to whom or
President
what?
Trump and want to have his children.
All right.
Well, you can have President Trump. I can have Melania. It works.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, he's hot. Yeah,
no, Ivanka
is like, damn.
Damn.
I was like, damn, man, I want to see Trump the movie and to make sure you include
Ivanka. Yeah, but you're going to have to, like, get in front of Trump in line to date Ivanka because nobody wants to date Ivanka Trump more than her father. It's really creepy.
Oh. Wow, I thought it was a compliment.
I can't blame him, but...
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a compliment. Of course, they make it all creepy, but, you know, whatever. I think he likes his kids. I think he's good to his kids and grandkids. Yeah, I mean, he's not. They're not, like, running away from him or writing books or anything. You know, it's not like Reagan's son. But, you know, give him that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, end it up. You guys get to end it up. All right, Zach. You know, kind of, we'll put some stuff up. We'll add a QR code. We'll get, you know, somebody something. Because, you know, but you give me a project that I can kind of, I can just smell when it's something I want to do and make sure it happens and I'm in. What can I do? So, we'll come up with something there. But go ahead and give out what information you want to do, the last thing you want to say, and peace out.
Okay, go to www.mises-mambi.org, MISES-MAMBI.org. Follow us on Facebook. Check out our videos. Share your favorite stuff. Share. Even if you can't throw us any money on Bitcoin to help fund these projects that we're doing, at least share this information.
Okay, well,
so
do you
somebody
have
else can.
QR codes or something on these sites?
Go to Mises-Mambi.org, and on the Support Us page, there is a Bitcoin wallet.
Support.
Yeah, there's
Mambi.
Also...
It's like Bambi with an M.
Yeah, it's
M-A-M-B-I.
Like Bambi with an M. So Mises-Mambi.org.
Nah, cool. Adam?
Yeah, yes?
What do you wish to say to the peoples?
Which people?
I don't know. The ones that are saying, make it stop!
Make it stop! our listeners. Well, I'm glad that Zach had the opportunity to alert your audience about what's going on with Cuba and Venezuela, and it's beautiful to
I think now is a perfect time for us to play with that. Some way, something. I want something. You know, I got, yeah, there's something. Something.
The
but
New World Order of Freedom.
Stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm going back to New Orleans for a month.
But what
half.
Are we gonna hear? Where do you post your stuff now? You know, I mean, is it just Twitter or you got your webpage or where do I go while you're there?
Where do I post my stuff?
In New Orleans.
Every mailbox in New Orleans is where I post my stuff. Ernie.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
You're
see good. How that works?
That's good. You know, this I'm glad you did this. I was real supportive of you doing this. And you did it. And you did me a solid. You put, you know, I didn't give you any money. It helped, you know, ways I could, but, you know, it was worth something. But you put our logo and, you know, mm-hmm. webpage in there. That was nice of you. You know, it might be bad. I might be going to jail for it. But, I mean, you know, I moved up one more row
jail, are you?
In the man. Now, I've been to jail enough. I've done my thing. Activist. Never convicted. You know, they always do the Adam thing, you know. It's like... Uh-huh. Yeah, we're gonna let you go this time, you know. But I always sue. Yeah, you know, we always sued. And I was just like, you know, they just like, let him go, man, let him go. And that's what happened with Shelton, 4409. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, he sued and got like $40,000-$50,000.
He had like $26,000 that one time, but it got you could hear because he had so many friends. And we're at whatever protest or the presidential debates or whatever, and he's there, and you overhear the cop, you know, that's the guy. You know, don't mess with him. Wait till he leaves.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, I'm going, you're a made man. Shit.
Yeah.
Got, and now it's not just a videotaper. It's the videotaper of the videotaper. You need at least three levels of videotaper.
Yeah, see, now, for me, in order to get arrested, I have to refuse to identify myself.
Well, hell, that's going to be a lot of arrest. You know, here in Arizona, that's exactly what Sheldon got arrested on and got his $26,000 on, that he did not. He goes, I'm not suspected of a crime. I didn't commit a crime. I'm not involved in the crime. I'm just here videotaping whatever the hell that you're doing, and I don't need to give you my. Yes, you do. And it was a black Scottsdale police officer. Mm. And he gets out, and Mark Victor gets him on the bench, on the witness stand, and he's going, did you know, like, Arizona law, you don't have to identify yourself unless he was he doing anything wrong? Was he suspected of doing anything or going to do anything? Nope. But, you know, standard operating procedure, freaking you, IDing me, boy.
Yeah, they're going to have to stand on. We were investigating a traffic stop. And there's a Ninth Circuit court decision recently affirming that a police officer does not have a right to identify passengers in a traffic stop. I mean, according to the they-them-their rules, you're operating a vehicle, you have authorized to show ID, blah, blah, blah. But at least now they've realized they can't cross that line and use, well, you're a passenger in the car, and we pulled your friend over for speeding, and use that as an excuse to say that you are being detained as, you know, an accessory to that.
You know, it's kind of, you know, but, you know, like these guys in Venezuela, you start, you know, giving lip to the man, they just shoot you.
Oh, no, I'm so, I
we're in a country where we kind of don't get shot as much.
Right,
you know?
No, I
get the crap beat out of you, but, you know.
I thank the heavens.
Some people die, though.
Every day that we live in the age where you can take the greatest risks in standing up to authority and know that the risk to your life is still relatively
small.
In
America.
In the United States, and probably, well, in a good chunk of the world, and it's moving that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, some places it's not. See, the one thing is that you have these pictures of
everywhere
these guys
is moving
in
that
Venezuela.
Way. Two steps forward, one step back, but this is the course of human progress.
Yeah. No, well, I tell you one thing that was interesting. I was interviewing James Corbett. Well, I just had every 2 weeks he comes on. So I just had him Wednesday. But the Wednesday before, right after the holidays and so on, he was down, man. He was like, he goes, Ernie, it doesn't matter how much they're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to go, yeah, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? I mean, you know, that's been my mantra since the Clinton administration. And but you don't really want to, because it gets really bad. And when I see these guys, you know, in Venezuela doing this, and they're out there with signs and kind of, you know, I'm like, boom, you know, what kind, just to make them feel better. I got a porcupine thing. Is that one of your things there or something? That's kind of, you know, coolness.
That's their logo.
Woo-hoo.
That's the logo of the Venezuelan.
Do they even know what the hell a porcupine is? Or porcupines in Venezuela?
There are no porcupines in Venezuela, but that's kind of become the symbol.
Do they got a spiny kind of animal that defends itself kind of that way?
No, not particularly.
Triceratops used to live there.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we had a scorpion pine.
I don't know, maybe they have like really mean alpacas.
For jackalope, you know, one of the years we had, they called it a scorpion pine. It's a porcupine
with
a scorpion
tail.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, so yeah.
Claws.
Yeah. Are you going to go to jackalope this August? You'll be around?
I'm hoping to be in Washington, D.C. doing guerrilla marketing. But if not,
it's a cool thing. And it's just going camping. Well, what's going to happen? Who's in charge? Nobody. I don't care what Alma says. You know, but Alma has fun with it. She'd do whatever. I don't care. You know, because what am I going to, who's in charge? Somebody to say no? You know, no. Nah. So you do whatever you want. It's up camp. It's 115 here, 78 there. You know, I just wanted to, you know, talk to them, get to interview them. Because when you put them on a mic and you record and stuff, they like have to ask questions and stuff, answer questions. And then when Adam just goes off, I got a button. I just do that. You know what happened? Friend of ours, you know, the wife, you know, the friends of ours, she goes, yeah, I remember you were doing that thing and you know, Adam went shut and you like pushed a button, you know, like I turned him off the button. I go, I wish I had a button for you. I need a button.
Of which,
shut up, Ernie.
Here's the show's over button now.
Show's over now. Thanks, guys. Peace.
Thank you, Ernie.